God is good all the time. Yes, yes, yes. I'm wearing my running shoes today because I want us to make sure we're going to be running for Jesus. Because what we need to do ain't happening in here. What we need to do is happening out there. Amen. We are here to celebrate what God has done in our lives this week, to worship, to honor him as our Lord and Savior. Amen. So welcome online. Welcome my brothers and sisters in front of me right now. We are here to give God thanks and praise. We do have a few announcements, and I think I'll start with Peter to give his. I did tell him to stand over here. you see who is the boss of the house? I guess not me.
I don't have to stand on this. Good morning, church. Friday, we had our first food pantry distribution. Picture on the left is Wednesday. We put together 100 bags. Picture on the right is what we put into the bag. There's enough in there for a family, up to a family of four for 3 days. So that's pretty awesome. And if we can go to the next slide. That's everyone just hanging out Friday morning, waiting for everything to start. And on the right, that's the very first car that we put a bag into. So that was the kickoff.
Yes.
So, and now the good part, you know, being an ex-IRS guy, I'm into numbers. We served 26 families that day. We handed out 41 bags. Now for those 26 families, it comprised 67 adults, 52 children and 3 seniors. So we gave enough food out for 122 individuals. And that's just our first Friday. We expect every time that we do this, that the numbers will increase as it gets out of the community. A big shout out to the volunteers who's really stepped up in packing and distributing. There's still room for volunteers. We'll never turn anyone away. Lynn Lee is somewhere. She's in charge of putting together volunteers, so reach out to Lynn, reach out to myself, even reach out to Phyllis in the office. Let us know. We're going to have a packing coming up, I believe, on the 27th of October, getting ready for our next distribution. So this is great. We should all be proud of how we came together as a church body to help those that are in need out in the community. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Yes, give God praise. Give God praise. Thank you, Jesus. He's awesome. Any more announcements on the floor, from the floor? Woohoo! I say the Holy Spirit is moving among these people, this body of Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Is anybody else? If not, we'll start with our worship this morning. And my pastor in training will lead us in the call of worship, Lila Marco.
Would you join me in the call of worship? We gather on this Children's Sabbath Sunday to worship God who loves each and every child. Moved by the Holy Spirit to seek justice and create community.
Amen.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Amen. All right. My hope is built on
Yes.
amen. And on Christ we build our house. In Christ alone.
His goodness alone,
standing upon this rock, we can then take that love and pour it out to others.
I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. And all my days I've been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Oh, my God.
Thank God for his goodness.
Amen.
Thank God we serve a Lord who pursues us all the time. Thank you for coming after us, Lord. Hallelujah. We have a lot of celebrations today. And we have some prayer concerns for sure. Well, first, let's celebrate the youngest member of our church, Willow Ruth Jocelyn, born yesterday at 9:44, 7 pounds, 20 ounces, 19 inches, 5. Amen. We celebrate life. Can we have the goodness of the Lord coming after us? Hallelujah. And we celebrate John and Anne's 55th anniversary this coming Tuesday. John is here, Anne is online. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And Annie said, I must continue to keep you in line. But that's a hard job. It's his job. We celebrate these things because God has made a covenant with us from the very beginning of life. Marriages is a covenant between the couple and God. So we do celebrate these things and recognize God in the midst of it. We have some, you notice Preston Tiner is not here today. So we had to impromptu go to videos this day. So we thank you for your patience, and as we get flexibly in this time, Preston was asking us to keep him in prayers because he has COVID. And of course, Tina is quarantined with him. So please keep them in prayers and, keep all the teachers. All these students who are out there together in this time. So keep them covered. May the Holy Spirit hover over them and protect them as they continue to teach our children in this time, risky time. We have it right here. So Wednesday, all of this got started for him. And he's doing well. I want you to know he's doing well. Most of the fever is happening and no breathing concerns right now. So we just keep praying that it stays that way. It doesn't get worse, but gets better. Amen? Yes. And I want us to also keep in prayer this week that 122 families that got served. We serve them communion this week. Think of it as that, because what we think communion is we're taking in Christ through the meal, taking in Christ by the mystery of faith. So pray for those 22 family persons, rather, who will be touched from our table, from Christ's table to their table. Amen? What else I'm going to pray for? And of course, all the followers of Jesus Christ who came out to serve, to be the hands and feet of Christ, because he's no longer with us, but through us, we get to be Christ in the world. Let us pray. Father God, you know our hearts because you are sovereign. You are the Alpha and the Omega. The Lord over all. The one who created because you love. God, we give you praise this morning. I pray that our praises and our singing and our hearts give you glory, God, because that's what we want. We want to glorify you this morning, because everything we do, our heart's desire is to please you, Lord Jesus. I thank you, Father God, for your grace that constantly pouring out of us, though we don't deserve it. Lord God, we thank you for being with Karen's family this weekend as Carolyn prepares to meet you. Father God, we just thank you for stepping into the situation with the Mitchell's family this week and all the servants who came together, Lord God, to make a little way through the breakthrough we prayed for, Lord Jesus. Continue to bless them, Lord Father. We thank you for answered prayers and those yet to come. Father, I pray for this church. I pray for when I say the church, I mean the people of this church, because they are the church. I pray for those you have called to serve in a particular ways, dear Father. I pray for the charge conference that's coming up there, Lord, the commitments of all of your of all our brothers and sisters. We pray for God for all the pastors who are on the brink of burnout right now, but we keep pressing on. Because you have called each and every one of us for times such as this. Lord, our words alone cannot lift up our gratitude and our praise to you. So please, Lord, look into our hearts. Look into our worshipful hearts, dear God, and know that you are at the center. You're above all things. And we ask that God, as you look down upon us this day, as your son, Jesus Christ, who came and hung out among us, gave us these words to pray them in the confidence of who he is from heaven and earth. When moments like these and Friday collide. So our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Good morning. We'd like to remind you that you can continue to go to our website to tithe, and that again is wesleymemumc.com to access our online giving page, or you can continue to mail in your tithes, or please drop it by the office to come see Phyllis. We thank you for your faithfulness. Would you join me now for the invitation to the offering? The Lord made the heavens, and all the earth belongs to God. As Jesus taught us, let us give to God the things that are God's own.
God, he is our promise keeper, our light in the darkness. He is our way maker.
I worship you.
light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. And you are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are here, turning lives around.
And now the prayer for illumination. Holy One, true and living God, through the message of the gospel and the power of your Spirit, make us imitators of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
When I wake up, I say my prayers. I read a verse of the day from YouVision, and then sometimes I post it on social media with one word, just one word. Then I would read a chapter or two from the Bible. Then I'll go to my seedbed text, daily text devotion. I sit in silence, just listening. And when Peter wakes up, he brings me a cup of tea, and he goes out and feed the cat, then to his office. And this is what we repeat morning after morning. How about you? Do you have some systematic things that you do each day? What if I tell you all of us have an unwritten personal rule of life? Built-in patterns and rhythms. We wake up at a certain time and we get ready for the day. We're doing particular things. We use our free time in all sorts of patterns and rhythms of work and hobbies and worship. I wonder if you realize that you already have a rule of life built in. It's the same way we are called to order our lives around the spiritual practices and discipline. That is a rule of life. Something that is a bit foreign to us, I know, I suspect. But try to think of this call to order our entire life in such a way that the love of Christ comes before everything else. What I'm talking about today, I'm going to talk about today, is creating a rule of life. Spiritual practices and disciplines that can help us live into the very title of the series we're about to wrap up today, Come Alive. Come alive in Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but that word rule doesn't exactly sit right with me. Sometimes I think of rules as just too much law and restriction. And if anybody knows me, I don't do well in a box. But maybe if I understood that rule and what rule meant, the extreme rebel side of me wouldn't be so bad. I would take a different attitude towards life. Maybe if I'd known that the Latin root word for rule means regular patterns or rhythm, I would have been better tamed. And what if I had known that the rule from the Greek word means trellis? I would not have been so rebellious to my mama and her trillion and one rules. Maybe, just maybe, I would have seen that she was building a framework of support in my life in order for me to grow bountifully. Think about it. A trellis is a system for the vine or plant that enables us to grow off the ground and grow upwards and fruitful. For a grapevine to produce good grapes, it must have a trellis to support and guide its growth, or it will lump to the ground. When this happens, my friend, the fruit tends to become rotten before it is ripe. When grapevines, even the grapevines in the wild, or just anything, will always find something to grow on, whether it's a trunk or a tree or some rock, because it needs to be on a trellis, make its own trellis. It's part of their nature to seek a structure. In the same way, the rule of life is a trellis that helps us to abide in Christ and become more fruitful and bountiful. It's simply a rule of life is an intentional, conscious plan to keep God in the center of everything we do. It provides the guidelines to help us continually remember God at the center and as the source of our lives. It includes our unique combination of spiritual practices that provide structure and direction for us to intentionally pay attention and remember God in everything we do. In everything we do. Friends, the starting point of any rule is the desire to be with God and to love God. Now, just as plants benefit from the support of a trellis, we human beings can see our life as a trellis. It is important to stop and ask ourselves, what kind of life are we growing? Is it a life where we are off the ground and growing upwards and bearing fruit? Or is it a slump to the ground to begin to rot? Are we all in need of building up our souls this morning? Like the healthy soil of the well-tended garden, our spiritual lives grow best in a healthy, well-tended soul. Echoing John Wesley's words, I ask you, how is it with your soul today? Are you languishing in the dirt, just hanging on at times, desperate for sunlight and water? Are you Are there weeds threatening to overtake you and consume you? Or are you enjoying a life filled with abundance of God's power and presence in your day? Do you live in a constant light of God's love, the assurance of Jesus' salvation and forgiving, life-giving spirit of the Holy Spirit? How is your soul growing today? I don't know about you, but when I feel like I'm just hanging on or in the weeds, I need a framework to lift me up. It's just, this isn't something that's new when I'm talking about all this trellis thing. Early century followers of Jesus Christ were using the rule of life to position their life in such a way that Jesus have access to them. This practice began in 5th century by Saint Benedict. Since then, this whole idea has been used by followers of Jesus across the centuries still today, using the rule of life. I want you to know, though, that the purpose of rule is not to earn God's love. God's love is a free gift, is given to us by the power of the Holy Spirit and Jesus' death on the cross and his resurrection. Instead, the rule of life is like the trellis. It simply helps position our lives so we can receive more of Jesus' grace. Keeping with the gardening theme, when our lives are not buried in the mud, hidden from God's light or good intentions, choked by weeds of worry, we can experience Jesus' promise of the fullest, life to the fullest, which is available to us. A rule of life is simply a plan to set practices that helps us create space in our daily lives to be with Jesus. That's all it is. We've been talking about pausing and finding rhythms in our lives. This is just a plan. They create an upward and visible plan for an inward and spiritual grace to pour into us. They are simply brief written statements of not have-tos, but rather want-tos. We're talking about writing down things and declaring things in our life that we want to do. They can be a simple daily reminder of what matters in our lives so we can be with Jesus Christ. You know, Dallas Willard, the author of Spiritual Formation, gave this coaching in one of his books. Arrange your life so that you are experiencing deep contentment, joy, and confidence in your everyday life with God. Arrange your life so you can experience deep contentment, joy, and confidence in God. We've been talking about how busy, in this Western culture especially, we are busy people, constantly doing things. And all this we've been talking about through this series is living, coaching you, guiding you, encouraging you to just slow down a little bit. Make Jesus Christ, your time with Jesus Christ, a little bit, give it more priority. Not some rush through, tick off thing, but to sit in his presence. Remembering that God who created you is God, the great I am. The Thursday night group, we are studying the book of Acts and we are discovering the I am. Yahweh, the one who hears our cries and take the worries out of our life, hear it and not only hear it, but act on our cries. We're just asking as followers of Jesus Christ in this time to just give him some more priority. Because everything you have came from him. That job you have, he gave it to you. That house you have, he gave it to you. Stop. Acknowledge him. Don't forget the daily office I talk about. Those are just moments where you just stop and remember. Now, what the daily office is asking us, the rule of life is asking us to just write it out. Make that commitment. What am I going to do? What are the things I can do? Little statements. I want to do it. We know we're not there yet, but I want to do it. Something you build on by writing it down. You speak it into existence. God, I want to worship you more. Bam, one done. God, I want to pray for the ministries of this church more. Bam, right down. Lord, I want to visit the sick more. Bam, it's done. I want to, Lord. And now you work it out. Start arranging your lives to make this happen. Maybe your parents might be saying, for your kids, I want to write down more prayer time with my kids. Put it on the calendar. Make it a priority to be together. The rule of life more and more people are using these days is parent my phone. I know I need to put that one on mine. The rule, this particular rule is intentionally limit our time on social media and carve out time of digital Sabbath. Well, Bishop reminded a group of us pastors a few weeks ago that social media algorithms are designed to hook us with controversy. So he challenged us to wait to turn to it at least 30 minutes in the morning and stop at least 1 hour before the end of the day. One of the rules of life practice I do is for the first thing in the morning, before I put my feet on the ground, I say my prayers. And the last thing at night, my thought is on Jesus, blocking out all the day. Some other things that I do is we can do for ourselves as you write your own rule of life. Think of these things as prayer and worship. What are the things you want to do in terms of prayer and worship? Your rest time. Believe me, rest time is important. Exercise, the relationships in your lives. These are some suggestions you can put on in your own rule of life. But whatever you choose, keep it simple. Make sure it works for you. My rule of life includes both a framework for my week and also mantras that matters to me. Some other of my rules includes time to spend with God each day. Take a Sabbath each week because I know I'm human and I need limits. I'm feeling that one lately, but I wrote it down. I want to do it. Separate my identity with Christ from my role as a pastor. Coming into to Pentecost, one of my old professors led a group of pastors across the country, the state rather, through what they call 50 days of formation. And the first thing we were talking about, we heard so many pastors intertwine our time with God with what we do for the church. But you also need to separate your work from your time with Jesus, your identity with Jesus Christ. Mine is that. My time with God and my relationship is separate from what I do in ministry. Your time and work as whatever you do should have priority. Your identity should first come from Jesus Christ. Amen? A rule is to develop out of a life you're already living. So again, I ask you, how is it with your soul? How is your soul growing? So that's all about what is a rule of life. Let me turn my attention to why we need this in our daily life. There's no better person to teach us than Mary's Rabbani, the teacher. One from Jesus' most famous sermon, the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus ends this teaching with a story about a wise and a foolish builder. In this story, Jesus teaches that the foundation and framework we build our lives upon will make all the difference. Here's what Jesus says in Matthew 7:24-27. Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on a solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents and the flood waters rise and the winds beat against the house, it won't collapse because it's built on a bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand. When the rains and floods come and the winds beat against the house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. Jesus says we need to be intentional when it comes to how we build our lives. In the story, the person who builds on the sand was foolish. Notice, he didn't say it was a bad person or evil or a mean person. They are just careless. They built something that is not sturdy nor thoughtfully. They didn't even have the intentional plan for building a life that lasts. The other builder was wise. To be wise, he's saying, is to be discerning and what will look ahead and what will work. Life is a life with purpose. To be wise, Jesus says, to put the words into practice. Wise people are doers and not just hearers. We get to pick the rules we build our lives up in. If we're not intentional about this, the rules are given to us by other people and circumstances in our lives. Things like people pleasing, money, and the stuff that money buys. And the world's popularity becomes the foundation for our sand. When we build our lives on unstable foundation, one breakdown in our relationship, one recession or loss of job, one shift of public opinion can shake us to the core. We need a foundation and a framework that lasts even when trouble comes. Rules of life, my friends, can help us live fully into God's dreams and design for our lives. As we position our lives for God, he will have full access to our soul. We find God grow in us, and we become devoted disciples of Jesus Christ. For a devoted disciple of Jesus Christ, sanctified by his grace, enjoys a life full of for one audience, living with the assurance of God's love and salvation through Jesus Christ. We know what we know, that God loves us. When we are fully, give God fully access, we experience all the fruits of the Holy Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. A life of purpose and meaning as we enjoy Jesus' mission on the earth. We've seen that happening now. My friends, when God has full access to our lives, we receive the gifts in twin gifts of grace and peace. In each of the 13 letters Paul wrote in the first century, he greets them with a peace and grace and peace to the people. These gifts are God wants for each and one of us to grow, grace and peace. Last week, I shared about the vulgar grace used in Manning's words of God in our lives, that gift God gives us we don't deserve it. Last week, we heard that incredible news that loved people love people. The more we experience God's love, the more love we have to give to others. One of life's trellis, or the rule of life, help us to grow in this grace, my friend. A rule of life will also help us experience God's peace in our lives. Like grace, peace is a gift from God. Peace is not found when we engage in fighting with one another, yelling at one another, insulting one another. Peace is not found in winning an argument or debate or even an election. Peace is found in a well-crafted treaty, no. A certain party platform or political figure, no. Peace is found only in Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen? The only peace you're going to have for again is from the Prince of Peace himself. You just read Isaiah and he tell you that peace of Prince of Peace was coming for you to redeem you. Now we have this gift of grace, twin gifts, grace and peace from Jesus Christ to us. This is why Paul could write in 2 Thessalonians 3:16. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. The Lord be with you all. In this time of election year and disease and division, this is a great verse we need to sit on. We learn that this verse, peace is a gift that comes from Jesus Christ. And that's my friend, when we talk about this peace, this is the reason we need a rule of life. To make us aware of the constant presence of Jesus Christ in our life. So look with me now for the big idea for this whole message, the nugget of the message. A life on purpose leads to a life in peace. A life on purpose leads to a life in peace. The purpose, we're going to write it out. And I have a complex relationship with the word and concept of rules. I have one with the word peace. I have never thought I would be standing here and proclaiming to a group of people the possibility of peace in Jesus Christ. You see, over the last decade or so, I've experienced firsthand a life on purpose leads to a life in peace. Through a life rule of life, I've begun to experience this peace. So let me close by telling you my story around the whole title, this whole topic of rule of life, an experience of shalom, peace. One could say I can categorize my own career before ministry into two environments, legal and technology. Roles as a tax certiorari paralegal and business technology manager. Both were highly specialized and high pressure jobs. For the paralegal position, my title was actually director of operations. For during the high season from January through March 1st, even the attorneys in the law firms were under my command until that last petition to reduce property tax was filed on March 1st. I was good at what I did. And because of the specialty of my field, I was asked by many competing law firms to come and work for them. It felt good to be fussed over. It felt good to be needed until I go home. And in the darkness of the night, a feeling of emptiness creeps over me. You can't figure out what is missing. And I feel that why is this discontent, I would ask. Even eventually I changed jobs, but it's time to put my computer science degree into work. Technology world, here I come. Technology specialist was the title, but never the destination. Because 6 months later, I was the manager of the very team I started with. Fast forward a bit. I grew that team from supporting one major product in the company to over 60 products in less than 2 years, simply by building relationships and fostering those relationships. I was at the high of my career. It felt good to be needed until I go home at night in the darkness and I feel the emptiness creep all over me. I can't figure out what is missing. Why this discontent? I had everything going for me, but no peace in my soul. Eventually, that still voice that I was so familiar with and been ignoring becomes a thundering in my ears. It's time, Debbie. It's time to walk the path I have laid for you. I knew exactly what it meant, but like Moses, I tried to make every my case why I can't do this. What about my bills, my family, Peter alone to carry it all? Now things are going so well, blah, 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 blah. You know what that voice said? I am your shepherd. You shall not want. 3 weeks later, what I thought defined me, my high-paying job and people who valued my work, my like Job, was wiped, ripped up from my world. In the moment, I felt relieved, not devastated. I felt the peace for the first time in a long time. Yes, later days, the reality hit me, and I panicked. How about Peter alone going to take care of his family? And again, the voice says, I am your shepherd. You shall not want. And this leads to my most precious rule of life. My identity is Jesus, not in Jesus, is Jesus, not my circumstances. I step into this new life, trusting in God, the good shepherd, and the support of faithful friends. I continue to build gardens of trellis for my soul. Much of this journey involved the process that we have been covering in this series for the past 8 weeks, including a call to integrate emotionally maturity with spiritual maturity. The need to go back to go forward. The look of the work of acknowledging grief and loss. Trust Jesus to see us through when we hit a wall. Discover a deeper relationship with Jesus through rhythms and running and rest. In other words, Sabbath. I pray you can use this series too as a framework of building up your soul. My beloveds, remember to go home and write your rule of life, a life of spirit-empowered rhythms and relationships that create, redeem, sustain, and transform life of God invites for you. That's what God intends for you, so we can humbly give God glory. So we continue to grow a life on purpose and a life in peace. To God be the glory. Amen. May that truly be your prayer. From our depths of our soul, asking God to have his way with us. This entire series, it boils down to this. Asking God, telling us, this is our desire, God. Our desire to spend quality time with you. Times covered just for you. May it be our desire and not take this gift of grace and peace for granted. So I leave you with these words from Paul to the Philippians in chapter 4. Final brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or have heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. And God of peace will be with you.